Hey there, welcome to another episode of the Original Slacker Podcast, presented by Round Guys Brewing Company. For those of you unaware, Round Guys Brewing Company is located in Lansdale, Pennsylvania. It's pretty much a midway point between Allentown and Philadelphia, about a half an hour north by car from Philadelphia. There is a train line that takes you directly from Center City to Lansdale. In addition, it's about a half an hour south of Allentown. So come in, check us out. We have a pub that's a full-service pub. Serves 16 freshly brewed beers on draft at all time. You can get those beers in takeout. Most of them are in cans. If not, just come in and bring a growler and we can fill it up. In addition, we also have food. We have a menu for everything except for breakfast. We have brunch on Sundays. It's a we also have mixed drinks, ciders, wines, all PA liquors. Then we go across the street to the Underground. The Underground's event space. Underground is a space that we are going to be hosting today's guest, Annie Stokes. She's going to be coming up from Virginia, and Lucas Roy is going to be coming down from Maine. Annie Stokes is going to be telling us about not just her musical philosophy, but also, really more importantly, her viewpoint on environmental activism and the give and take, the hardship, the balancing act you need in bringing some of this activism to areas such as Virginia, West Virginia, and some parts that are traditionally relying on some more of these dirty industries. So why don't you sit back, relax, and take it in. Annie's is a really enlightening person, and I'm really glad you could join me today. And then we'll wrap this up at the end. We're going to be including one of her tracks. Thanks again.
Great. I just got off work teaching music, so I'm completely jazzed on music right now.
Great, great. What can you tell me about music?
Yeah. Wait, what?
What can you tell me about music?
Oh, that's a very vague question. I can tell you a lot about. Did you want to like know theory or like more abstract philosophical stuff about music?
Well, I don't think theory translates over very well just in audio portion, right? But the abstract philosophical stuff sounds pretty interesting. So hit me. Come on.
Okay. Well, you know, I teach a girl band, like a band of teenage girls, which sounds kind of like a band of teenage girls.
It's not a gang. It's actually,
but they're incredibly smart young women who have started writing their own songs about like current events and, you know, just very honest confessional songs. And so that has been really inspiring for me as their teacher. And it kind of translates very much back to the type of music I like to write, which is it's normally, and it's not that I am, not that I don't love, you know, feel good music, but I tend to also write weird confessional emotional stuff too. So my philosophy on music, to wrap that up neatly, is that music should be weird and make you feel something.
Well, it's interesting. We live in a time, especially right now, the past 2 years, we live in a time where I think, especially as a woman, this is a moment that is unparalleled to anything else in America and history. You know, I mean, this is phenomenal what you're doing. And
thank you.
What are they trying to, I guess, what's their music about? What's their, because your voice, when I listen to your music, it's very melancholy at times. And it's very, you have nice harmonics at times. And it's a very pleasant sound. And it's a very relaxing sound. I found myself feeling like, you know, at times I guess the dark songstress is coming out in you, right?
At times I found
myself being like, man, I need to have a drink.
That is exactly what I go for. Not the enabling of the drinking, but but I mean, you know, live your life. But so yeah, my girls, they're actually across the hall right now. I'm just in a music studio. They've been writing some songs about, they write a lot about, you know, anxiety and depression when you're a teen. They write about things like, you know, trying to break free from this preset path that your parents have made. They are all very active when it comes to gun safety. So they're just total badasses. And, you know, that's kind of, I'd like to say that I influenced them to sing about meaningful things, but I honestly don't think I have anything to do with it. And it's just pure coincidence that we're all in the same room once a week together.
What kind of music do they play?
They play rock music.
Okay.
They're a five-piece rock band, yeah.
Okay, very cool. So where are you located specifically?
So I'm from Leesburg, Virginia. That's right outside of DC. It's kind of like where the urban sprawl meets the country. So
Yeah.
that's kind of
So you're
where
civilized Virginia, if you don't
I'm
mind me
civilized
saying, yeah.
Virginia, although I will say I've lived in many different places in Virginia and I've loved all of them in different ways. If civilized means that we have more Starbucks's than, you know,
Yeah, I have many friends
have
that,
Starbucks's, but you know.
I have many friends from all parts of Virginia, and I know that there's the hate relationship between Nova and the rest of the state, right?
Yeah, we don't blame each other, but we need each other. We
Right.
need each other, so.
Very cool. All
Yeah.
right, so you were talking earlier about how you just kind of let it pour out in your music. Is there anything that you really don't dig into, or are there areas that you kind of just say, "Hey, you know what? I'm writing a song. I feel what I feel at the moment. I just want to find a way to create art from it."
Yeah, so I try really hard. There's a quote, and I think it's by Ernest Hemingway, who says, like, write drunk, edit sober. So I try really hard when I'm writing a song to not like limit myself from any topic or anything. You know, I try very hard because the music that I tend to listen to and that I really relate to, I feel is very confessional and it doesn't really follow necessarily the, you know, AB rhyme scheme. And you know, I really like Phoebe Bridgers and Jessica Leah Mayfield and Kacey Musgraves and Margo Price, and their lyrics can sometimes be shocking and unexpected, and that's what I really like about music. And so when I'm writing songs, as much as writing is an intentional curated act, I try really hard not to think to myself, this is off limits, or that sounds stupid, or that is too taboo, or that's not taboo enough. I try to just be honest in the moment when I'm writing.
Okay.
If that answers your question.
Yeah, no, that makes plenty of sense. Is there any particular song out there that you think comes through in a truer fashion than some of the other ones? Or do you feel that you do a really good job pulling out what you're trying to get in each tune?
Of my songs?
Yeah, I feel like you've been at this for a while, right? There's an
Yeah.
evolution that, do you feel that you've hit that point where you're really hitting the mark, or do you feel that there's always more to progress to?
There's definitely always more to progress to. And there are definitely songs where I look back, and they tend to be some of my older pieces too. But I look back at them and I think, you know, I like that song. I'm proud of myself. But I probably was still kind of finding my voice when I wrote that. And that's not necessarily how I would write. That's not what I would nowadays consider to be like an honest song. But in terms of songs that I wrote that I really think I was just being myself on the most recent album, there's this song called Livin' Right. It's the title track. And that's kind of a song where I let myself be a little braver and almost a little silly and almost a little, you know, I didn't grow up in the Dust Bowl and I wouldn't call myself poor. And so I felt kind of silly at first writing these lyrics where I was kind of playing a character, but they still felt very honest and they felt very exactly what I needed to say. And then, so yeah, I would say the most recent album is probably the album where I
You're
was
letting it all hang out, right?
truest to what I'm becoming, I guess. And I've been writing some songs recently. They're not ready to perform or release yet, but I've even more so been like, okay, just like radical honesty, at least in the writing room. And you know,
How's that?
every effort I make, I think I get a little bit closer to like what I want to do.
So, Annie, how's that feel when you're up there on stage then? I mean, you're pretty much exposing yourself. There's.
Yes, it actually feels really good. And I don't know if that means that I'm just like a narcissist or like a total like ham, but I really like it. I think
You're a dark songstress.
I'm a dark songstress. Yes, exactly. I fall into the Vanessa needs to get so many awards for coming up with that. She's awesome. Yeah, I feel because, you know, if I didn't want to share my thoughts with people, I probably wouldn't be doing this. And so I feel like I'm pretty good at kind of just like almost having tunnel vision a little bit, where I'm not really thinking about external stimuli or like all the eyes on me or like all the things that could go wrong. I just kind of get into this conversational mode, and you know, and it usually works out.
Yeah. Well, I think
it's thrilling.
I think what you just said here shows the leadership you have with this band you're playing with, right? Because you have that experience, you've actually gotten to the point where you're very comfortable with just letting it all hang out. And I'm sure for those girls their age, you know, anyone who's a teenager, you can do stuff on adrenaline, but there's also that little part where it's like, oh, especially probably for girls that age, the judgment factor and the kickback is always going to be there, right? And you've superseded that. You can show other talent how to get to that spot, right?
Yeah, but I will say of my girl band, and I feel like their band is Alaska and Aurora. I've just been talking about them so much, I might as well tell you what their band name is.
Sounds great.
They're really brave. They're one of those things where I don't know if like young people are just, you know, if evolution is working the way it's supposed to and we're just like gradually getting smarter and better, or if I was just so shy when I was a child and I just look at them and I'm like, oh my gosh, how are you guys doing this?
Yeah, but you didn't have YouTube.
Oh yeah.
That's the difference.
Yeah, no,
I grew up
pure.
Yeah, if you had YouTube, it would have been a totally different story.
True.
Yeah, no, this is great. So you're from, or you're living in Leesburg right now, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Now, where does your musical influence actually technically derive? Are you from, you've been all around Virginia, are you native to Virginia?
So it's a bit of a story. I was born in Maryland outside of DC. So culturally very similar to where I'm living right now. I lived in a suburb of the city till I was 13. And then I moved to Leesburg, where you still kind of have that DC urban atmosphere, but you're much, much closer to Southern culture, country culture. And then I consider Virginia to be my home state. And then I went to college in Lynchburg, and then I lived for a while in the Shenandoah Valley. So I'm technically a Northern Virginia girl, but I've spent a considerable amount of my like formative adult years in, you know, the boonies.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell.
Loving
anyone.
It.
I'm not going to tell anyone. Don't worry.
Your secret
being a Nova girl is safe by me. You're good.
But that's where I when I was living there, that's where I really learned and was exposed to musical communities that focused on folk instruments and that focused on harmonies and that really just, you know, got into like traditional country, not pop country or arena country, but like Dolly Parton, you know, country, or like, you know, I'm blanking, which is so embarrassing, but you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, like
I blank all the time. Don't worry, Annie.
Yeah. Americana, balladeer country. And then when I was growing up, my mom was really into Alison Krauss and Union Station and Willie Nelson and Johnny Cash. So I kind of grew up on a steady diet of this music. So I'm not totally a poser.
No, that's great. No, I wouldn't suggest you were. Just it is funny, the dynamic in Virginia. And I think that, so that brings me to my next question. One of your passions is environmental activism.
Mm-hmm.
And I know just from my experience in West Virginia and parts of Virginia is that environmentalism down there comes with a double-edged sword, right? Because
right.
The environment is destroyed. It is always under attack, and it's always in a very high-pressure situation from the industry. However, at the same time, there's no work down there, and that's what people kind of rely on. So where does this sense of environmentalism, where'd that come from for you?
Well, I always, growing up, was very, very fascinated with nature, and I loved nature, and I hated seeing trees cut down. And then going to school in Lynchburg, I went to Lynchburg College, which is in the foothills of the Blue Ridge, and then I lived in the Shenandoah Valley, where all of a sudden issues like pipelines and mountaintop removal, these weren't just kind of abstract things that you thought were bad. These were things that were very directly impacting the communities that we lived in. And you're totally right in that coal mining and other such in forestry, you know, in more depressed parts of the country, these have been the economic backbone. But the thing is, they're not working, you know, even if nobody was trying to transition the industry, they're just not working anymore. So it's a very complicated, probably more than we can get into in this podcast, but you know, it's just a very complex but holistic a complex problem with, that needs a complex solution. But nothing about the way things are going in these areas is like really working right now. So the only way forward is just, you know, having the conversations and not looking away from it.
Yeah, when you say it's not working at the moment, can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, you know, not only is the coal industry obviously polluting the atmosphere and it's destroying fragile ecosystems through mountaintop removal and stream bed pollution and, you know, pipelines being built, not only is it having environmental impacts that are negative, but economically, we're just seeing diminishing returns just because we're having to go deeper and deeper into these mountains to get coal. The costs of removing the coal are outweighing the benefits of the coal. It's just, you know, it's a sunset industry. This is a finite resource. And so, you know, people talk about, you know, how do we promote environmentalism in an area where the coal industry is kind of the driving the economy, but you know, it's not a very healthy economy to begin with. So it's like, why wouldn't we just want to try to haul everybody upwards with us? So, and you know, I don't have all the answers, but I do know that solar and wind, especially in the mountains, are some industries we could look at to, as we transition away. But yeah, it's definitely one of those, it's definitely in the Appalachian region, it's definitely an issue where you can't just kind of have a bumper sticker. You can't just have an idea. You really kind of have to have conversations, and you have to look at sustainability from a human point of view. And you know.
Yeah, I think that's you nailed it on the head. The human point of view. I think that's the hardest part. I have some friends live down in Huntington and different parts of West Virginia, and I definitely see that, and they have difficulty trying. I guess, you know, they're very into the environment, and it's very tough for them to break into that mold without coming across. It's hard to talk about this, right? But it's hard to explain the human point of view, right? Mainly because this, you still have people who need to live, and people need to find a way to survive.
Right.
Down there.
And it's hard to say. It sounds very abstract to somebody who's living in an economically depressed area where they, you know, have always been coal miners. It's hard to say to them, you know, oh, well, you're hurting the environment, so stop. You know, they're like, well, okay, I might believe you and I might agree with you, but I literally have no other thing to do. So it's, I think every issue is like this if you look up close, but especially this one because it's the one I'm familiar with. There's really no, like, if you think there's like a black and white solution, you're probably not thinking about it hard enough. But yeah, so I think for me, like, singing songs about the environment is a way for me to make a human connection about it, as opposed to just like, something that may be a little bit more like sanitized or clinical or abstract, you know?
Right. And when you're singing songs about the environment, do you do anything additionally special? I know Vanessa had mentioned, that you do support different organizations. Tell me a little more about that.
Yeah. So I support 10% of the proceeds of my album, and all related merch sales go to two different organizations. Right now we don't have any Appalachian organizations. I might change that in the future, but the ones that we're working with are really amazing. We're working with Conservation Music. This is an organization that was actually started by somebody in the DC music scene, Alex Pollen. He started it when he was in South Africa, and he was seeing all of these farming and, indigenous and, you know, subsistence communities that were kind of harming, you know, struggling a little bit because they didn't have the resources to live sustainably, even though they obviously aren't having the carbon output that we in America have. You know, it was little things like farming techniques or you know, hunting sustainably or foresting sustainably that would have improved their lives. And so he decided he wanted to help, you know, communities. And I think there are a lot of African countries that he's working in, and potentially might be moving to India too. But it's basically about helping kind of like the more marginal. When we think of humanity in general, unfortunately, we tend to like kind of marginalize people living in poverty in Africa or Saharan Africa or South Africa. So he has incorporated their own language and their own traditions and their own songs and their own music into this message of living sustainably and living in harmony with nature. So it's less like, oh, you know, an outsider came in and is telling them how to live. He's kind of giving them the resources to share this message of living better.
It's less like the white guy coming to town.
Right. No, but he literally was like, I don't want to be the white guy who goes to town and is like, you're not irrigating your streams correctly. He was like, I know you're not irrigating your streams correctly, and I know that I can help, but I also don't want to be a white savior. So he was literally like, here's some recording equipment. Here's, you know, some guitars. I know some of you here know good farming practices. Like, I'm just here to help you elevate your voices. And which is really awesome. And then the other one is Trees, Water, and People. This is another organization that helps. Both of these organizations promote sustainability or help humanity through promoting sustainability. So it's very human-based. It's very, like, centering the needs of people rather than, again, making kind of this clinical or abstract statement about how we should be, you know, looking at the forest. They kind of start with the people who are living in these areas, and then they move outward and they center those people. So Trees, Water, and People started out in Central America with sustainable forestry, sustainable non-wood burning cook stoves that not only improved people's lives through not inhaling as much smoke, but also they didn't have to depend on rainforest wood to cook their food. They're also help on Native American reservations install solar panels and sustainable heating, and all of the solar panels and all the installations are Native American owned and employed. So it's, again, it's, you know, centering the needs of the community that you're trying to help and just standing back and lending your resources and lending your privilege to help people live better.
Have we seen any kind of economic benefit from these? So you provide people with the stability. Oftentimes you'll find that they'll be able to spur, once people have stability, they're able to spur economic growth and try, you know, and you'll see education rise and you'll see business rise and you'll see all types of things happen.
Yeah, I'm sure there is. I don't have like hard numbers on that, but I do know that like having clean cook stoves obviously improves lung and heart health. And it means that the women in the family can spend a little less time, you know, in the house cooking. So that improves health. It improves, which, you know, improves everybody's opportunity for everything. And then obviously having sustainable power on a Native American reservation is going to free up a lot of resources for other needs.
Right. Okay, cool. Yeah, that's very cool. Where'd you find out about the second one?
Trees, Water, and People?
Yep.
I was just, honestly, I was on Indiegogo. This is actually kind of a silly story, but I was on Indiegogo. I saw this link for this, this is kind of PG-13, but it was a company that was, for every box of condoms they sold, they would plant a tree. And I thought that was so clever. And I reached out to them and I was like, I want to, like, can I give you my money for music? And they were like, we are actually a charity organization too. And our money goes to Trees, Water, and People. So through this condom company.
Now, was this an African-based
organization? No, this is an American. This is an American condom tree company from California, obviously.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's how I found out about them, purely through some Googling. I knew that I wanted to make an environmental album, and I knew that I wanted to choose organizations that centered the needs of people before the needs of the people who were coming in and telling people how they thought they should live. And I knew that I wanted to look for organizations that were smaller, so they had fewer overhead costs and they spend their money more responsibly. And so that's how I just stumbled upon these two organizations.
Yeah, no, that's great. I love what you're doing. I love your philosophy. I love your beliefs on this. How did you come across Lucas Roy?
Okay, so Lucas Roy's cousin is Vanessa, who is my...
That makes it very easy for you, I guess.
Yes, and Vanessa's a lot of things to me. She is she's my booking agent and my media specialist, and she's also one of my best friends. She's a bridesmaid in my wedding, and she is just a fantastic human being. And when we started working together, and I say working very loosely because when you're friends with somebody, it's like you get together and you talk and then you get stuff done and then you... So hanging out / working. She mentioned she had a cousin who wanted to come down, and I was like, I'll be his, you know, local opening act. And then that kind of blossomed into this 8-state tour that we're going on in May.
Yeah, I noticed you guys actually kind of pair up very well. You know, because you are very melancholy and very direct, I guess, in your emotional charm. And he is very upbeat and very poppy, right? So it's kind of like sweet and salty. And it's, it seemed to me, I like the pairing. I really appreciate that pairing.
Thank you so much. We were pretty excited to go on the road together. I think we kind of feel the exact same way about, it's called the North by South tour. So he's kind of bringing like the Northern, you know, singer songwriter. And I'm kind of, which, you know, different, the musical map of where genres come from is very complex, but I'm definitely bringing like the Southern Gothic, like, you know, moonshine sadness to the tour. So,
hey, you put it there.
Yeah, for sure.
Where can people find you out there on the interwebs?
People can find me at www.anniestokesmusic.com. They can like me or follow me on Instagram. That's at A-N-N-C-A-T-H-E-R-Y-N, Ann Catherine. I chose that Insta name before I was a musician, so I could have made it something more easy and clever, but I'm not going to do that. or you can like me on www.facebook.com/Annie Stokes Music, or I'm on all of the, you know, iTunes and Spotify and
SoundCloud. Amazon,
all the places you can purchase music.
Cool. Very cool. All right, thanks again, everyone, for listening to this episode of The Original Slacker. I'm your host, Bill McGeaney. I personally really like this interview with Annie Stokes. Annie was, we had just such a frank discussion. I haven't seen that yet on The Original Slacker, a very detailed discussion on even something as topical, I guess, is environmentalism. And to see us go back and forth and getting some of the weeds there, I think that's just fun from my standpoint. Either way, really appreciate you guys listening. Really appreciate you guys tuning in. If you want to check out this show, I highly recommend it. It's on May 23rd at The Underground, presented by Round Guys Brewing Company. Underground is located across from the pub for Round Guys Brewing Company, both in Lansdale, Pennsylvania. And one is at 408 West Main Street. The other is at 324 West Main Street. So The Underground, you can find out more at underground.roundguysbrewingcompany.com. You can find out more about the pub at pub.roundguysbrewingcompany.com. Find out more about our brand at facebook.com/roundguys. Or find out more about the stories you're hearing right now at facebook.com/RGBCUnderground. I also have a Facebook group for The Original Slacker. Check it out. That's facebook.com/TheOriginalSlacker. Like us and just stay in touch. All right, guys. So I really appreciate you guys listening. I'm going to have the follow-up interview with this, and we'll have some tunes in there as well. Check us out, and until next time.